Welcome to Behind the Curtain with me, Rhiannon Carrs. I'm really excited about today's episode. I'm joined by Alex Vogt, our board director and Curtain's overall delivery lead. Alex started with us originally as a transport planner back in 2012. He nurtured the teams and our clients and grew the transport planning specialism across the UK, working closely with our civil, structural and geoenvironmental teams. Now in a new role which he started at the beginning of last year, Alex is responsible for technical delivery across the whole business. That includes all specialisms. He is more experienced than most at collaborating and connecting teams, so Alex knows exactly what it looks like when we work seamlessly together. Welcome, Alex. Thank you for joining us. So let's start there, shall we? Why is working together and doing so, I suppose, well, why is that so important?
Well, firstly, morning, and thank you for having me today. So the importance of working together, we need to go back to the start to understand that question.
Mm-hmm.
So you will recall this probably, but back in 2023, we'd been in a board meeting all day. It was quite a long board meeting. And around 4 o'clock, I felt that what was needed was a 49-slide presentation.
How could I forget?
On working together. So what this was a consolidation of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So what I tried to do was, I was observing a lot of things around the business at that time, some positive and some negative with regards to working together.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to capture that and present it to the board to see what we might do as an initiative for the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So on the positive side, when we work at the individual team level, we do fantastic things and everybody loves it.
Mm.
So the staff survey at that time, when people were asked, what's the most important thing to you? 66% of people said it's working as part of a really good team.
Yeah, the team.
So that was excellent. Equally, we have a really strong company culture and people generally feel that. They connect with it. Again, when we do the staff survey, people talk about being supported, friendly, connected, really nice things, a family-like atmosphere. So again, that's really positive. But what I also noticed is when we work across offices or across disciplines, things often went wrong.
Mm.
And that seemed to be a real challenge within the business. So that was the origin, really, of working together.
Mm-hmm.
And what we set out to do from that point was enhance our ways of working together. And it started with a few ideas, it grew into a critical priority, and then this year it's become a key management initiative. And there's been a lot of good action.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, we've introduced foresight guidance, we've introduced foresight templates, we've done company-wide webinars on how to work together, we've done presentations on different disciplines and different specialisms and different office projects. We've done roadshows. We've done a whole host of things to try and shine a light on all the things that are happening around the business and how people can connect and get involved in those different things.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose when we're looking at that from the perspective of our clients, what we really want that experience to feel like is that kind of connected, that collaborated approach, that no matter which member of staff that you're speaking to at Curtains, you can kind of guarantee that you're going to get that same level, that same standard of service, regardless of which office, which specialism and which individual, because there is that kind of that network, I suppose, that people feel part of.
Exactly that. So seamless service. I think that's what we're talking about. We want the client, whether they're working with Curtains in London or they're working with Curtains in Manchester, we want that seamless service. We want that consistency. They know what they're going to get when they work with Curtains on a project. Brand integrity as well.
We
do things in a certain way. We act in a certain way. And whilst we want to have some local identity, we need to make sure that we're consistent with our brand identity and our overall company message.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely love that. And I couldn't agree with you more.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned that you work closely with all of our delivery teams. So that means that you're really kind of seeing firsthand when we're nailing it, which I suppose is what you're describing there. Could you talk us through what you see us doing like brilliantly and perhaps, you know, what we could be doing more of?
Yeah. So what we do brilliantly is when we collaborate on projects well, It is absolutely fantastic and it is a joy to behold. So some really good examples of that. I have spoke about this in the past, but I'll say it again because it's such a good example. So North Manchester General Hospital. Mm-hmm. North Manchester General Hospital was a project that started around 5 years ago. It started with a £14,000 transport planning commission for a very modest master plan. At the time, I already knew that there was likely to be spin-off opportunities for our disciplines. Mm-hmm. And liaising with Ollie, we made sure that we were really well positioned to be able to maximise those opportunities as they came forward. We did that and that project grew. And at first it grew to a CNS piece of work. The Manchester team wasn't able to do that piece of work, but at the time the Liverpool office could. Mm-hmm. So I worked very closely with John Kelly, Ian Dorman, Patrick Lucas, who I never worked with before, and they were absolutely fantastic. Mm. John got hold of the project by the scruff of the neck. He led it. He engaged with the clients. It was a really, really good coordinated performance from the transport planning team in Manchester, the CNS team in Liverpool. Over time, we were able to involve the EB team, so they were brought into the project as well. And now, 5 years later, the project has transitioned over to Manchester. We've had around £1 million of fees, and we're potentially looking at another couple of £1 million of fees next year as we progress it right the way through to completion in 2 or 3 years' time. So that's a really good example where we've had multiple disciplines, multiple offices, working really closely together, collaborating, all in the client's interest, speaking with one voice, to deliver a fantastic project.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose that's kind of our niche, isn't it, in a way, that the we have locations across the UK. We have teams that are kind of situated almost around around everybody's in everybody's back garden, I suppose. So that means that you can have that local engagement. You can have those individuals on the ground coming to your site. But we've also got the might of the wider team behind that. So talk us through kind of the approach of that and how that really helps us in terms of being able to marry up both the capacity but also the expertise as well.
Yeah. So you're right, the strength in numbers is mm-hmm. one of the things that we can really maximise. So mm-hmm. I think a really good example of that is how Manchester and Leeds have operated this year. Mm-hmm. So Manchester and Leeds are both strong offices for us. They're large, they're self-sufficient. Leeds is working in the Yorkshire market, Manchester is working in the Northwest market. But this year, for the first time, we brought them together as a hub. Mm-hmm. So we connected the two offices more closely than ever before. And it was for exactly that reason. It was for projects like North Manchester in Airedale, which are huge, 1 billion plus projects. And what that needs is significant resource and significant expertise. And if we're just pulling from a talent pool of Manchester, that's great. We mm-hmm. can have 50 engineers working on it. But if we're pulling from Leeds as well, we can have 100 engineers working mm-hmm. on it, and we can pick the best ones. And that's exactly what's happened on North Manchester General Hospital. It's exactly what's happened on Airedale Hospital. So on Airedale Hospital, that is a project managed by the Leeds team. Leeds CNS are involved, Leeds EB are involved, but the transport planning team in Manchester are supporting on that as well. So we've got mm-hmm. this cross collaboration going mm-hmm. on across the Pennines, which has been really successful.
Yeah, and it really benefits everybody, that, doesn't it? I mean, obviously it benefits the clients as you've just described there, but actually it connects the individuals as well, doesn't it? It connects the teams on a kind of very personal level as well as a professional level. And I think what we've really seen is that culture between our different office locations galvanized even more so by the opportunity to actually work together on a project. But actually the reality is that they connect on a much deeper level as well.
That's right, it brings mm-hmm. everybody together. Mm-hmm. So the northern offices are a brilliant example of that. So we have relatively modest scale offices in Dublin, Kendal, mm-hmm. Glasgow, Edinburgh, Isle of Man, but as a hub mm-hmm. that's quite a strong presence. Yeah. And they all come together now for the first time this year. They've come together for a variety of socials, they've come together for CPDs, they've come together for management meetings, and that's given us the opportunity to really learn from each other, share best practice and engage mm-hmm. from a social perspective, which is really good.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. I know you're a massive fan, Alex, of continual improvement, right? You will always kind of look for how do we get those marginal gains? How do we push ourselves? How do we kind of build on what we've done today? And for me, that's kind of straight out of the Bill Curtin playbook, isn't it? You know, mm-hmm. that's what he was always striving for. So could you talk us through some examples of like perhaps how we could improve? So where you've seen, you know, perhaps we're not quite nailing it. Where could we be better? And what might those kind of short-term goals be that we're kind of aspiring to?
Yeah. Okay. So in the summer, I had the opportunity of doing a roadshow with mm-hmm. Neil. And as part of that roadshow, or in preparation for that roadshow, I went round all of the different offices and all the different units, just talking to people. Mm. And what's really clear is the level of expertise we have in this business. We've got some really, really clever people doing some really, really cool stuff. And it's fantastic to see, whether it's be using a piece of software, whether it's developing a product, whether it's a process that's been done in a certain way. There's all these fantastic things going on all over the business. Mm. The challenge, though, is that we might be doing something really well in Scotland, and we might be doing something really well in London, but we'll be doing it slightly differently. Mm. And what that means is someone's potentially reinvented the wheel there. Mm. Somebody spent time and effort learning how to do something or developing something in a certain way when somebody else may already have done it. Mm. And what we end up with is two slightly different ways of doing things. So if we go back to the beginning and how important consistency is and how we want to offer the seamless service mm-hmm. across the country, it's important that we try and standardize some of our best practice. Mm-hmm. So what became clear from that roadshow is there was 10 things that I shone a light on, mm-hmm. which were really, really good things that could benefit the business, whether it be Matt Wright's calculation pack in Manchester, whether it was Johnny Soul's project, cost tracker, mm-hmm. Whether it was Colin Rich's design reviews on a Monday afternoon. They're fantastic things that could be rolled out to other parts of the business. But as it stands, the mechanism for doing so is maybe not as developed or not as efficient as it could be. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we've always had an experienced community. Mm-hmm. We have experienced people, or experts, mm-hmm. as some might call them, around the business. Mm-hmm. And Paul Menzies has done a sterling job of arranging those into groups. Mm-hmm. So there's 49 groups as it stands at the moment, mm-hmm. whether that be a tall building group, a steel group, a concrete group, there's a group for everything, whatever
it is.
There's
a lot of experts.
There's a lot of experts. There's a lot of groups. Mm-hmm. And they are the experts in their field. Mm-hmm. But what we need to do is make sure that the knowledge they have is available to other people.
Yeah.
And that is going to be one of my prime focuses in 2026. So mm-hmm. this year, I want to focus on really embedding the experience community into the company and generating the initiatives, the ideas, and the best practice that will drive us forward.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic, because I notice when I kind of speak to colleagues around the business, they both are really kind of, I suppose, motivated by sharing knowledge. Actually, it's just often a case of, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what the channel is. I don't know, you know, how to actually get this piece of information, like you say, whether that's a piece of technical experience or whether that's even like a way of working. I don't quite know how to share it. But also, I don't know where to go to find it when I want to know that, whatever that may be. So I think this idea of, you know, kind of introducing this new framework, this new channel through the experienced community, and really refining how that works, is just going to smooth out that process, isn't it? And ultimately, what we're aspiring to there is efficiency, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It's efficiency. It's doing things the best way we possibly can. Mm-hmm. So the idea for the experience community is it'll be broken into three parts in 2026. So the first part will be about standardization of our best practice.
Mm-hmm.
The second part will be about peer-to-peer support and how people tap into the knowledge that others already have. And then the mm-hmm. third part is likely to be about external content generation.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people around the business doing fantastic things. We need to make sure that the wider world is aware of that. And in the past, it has been challenging to create that content or to draw that content away. And maybe it's because people have a day job.
Mm-hmm.
People are busy doing engineering, delivering projects, whatever it might be. So we need to create the time and the incentivization to encourage people to create the content that we can then share externally to showcase all of those brilliant things that we're doing.
Fantastic. So I'd like to look now then, I suppose, in terms of that horizon, just a little bit further. What do you think the sort of next 5 to 10 years looks like for Curtains? What's your ambition, particularly for the kind of technical delivery side of the business? Where do you want us to get to?
That's a really good question. So 10 years into the future, that's even more than we usually look. What I will say is the governance board, which was formed last year, we spend a lot of time looking 5 years into the future. Mm. So historically, I think what we've been very good at Curtains is looking at the here and now and maximising what's right in front of us. We've also been quite good at looking 1 year ahead and what the conditions might look like there. But we've not really looked 5 years into the future before. And the governance board last year has done that. Mm-hmm. And that has enabled us to develop a five-year plan. Mm-hmm. So the five-year plan, hopefully everybody's aware of that, but it's got 6 key elements to it. And the first 3 are our most important 3 Cs. We've got consistency, we've got collective ownership, and we've got client focus. They're the 3 things that really make me tick. They're the 3 things that I really want to focus on over the next 5 years. So I want everyone around the business doing things in the same way, standardizing that best practice, mm-hmm. utilizing the experienced community, making sure we work together to deliver that consistency. Want to make sure that we've got a collective focus, that we're all supporting each other, we're all working for the greater good. When one of us wins at Curtains, we all win. Mm-hmm. The employee trust gives us that ability, and mm-hmm. we need to tap mm-hmm. into that and mm-hmm. make sure we deliver on its potential. Mm-hmm. And then client focus. I've always been extremely passionate about work winning. Mm-hmm. It's really, really hard to win work. Mm-hmm. We're in a competitive industry, market conditions are challenging. It's not easy to win work, but we have some excellent work winners. And what we want to do over the next 5 years is upskill other people to be able to be excellent work winners as well. So a lot of training, a lot of focus to make sure that we've got the work needed to achieve our business plans moving forward.
Yeah, it really is about that shared responsibility, isn't it, in terms of work winning. And that obviously isn't just about finding those new clients who have never come across Curtains before. Obviously, you know, as much, yeah, those are great. We love new clients. We love to welcome new business. But actually, so often it's about looking after the clients that we've got, isn't it? And regardless of what part you play at Curtains, you have a responsibility for looking after our existing clients and hoping that they come back, because repeat work is ultimately our favourite kind of work, isn't it?
Exactly that. Repeat business is the easiest type of work. If we look after the clients we're already working with and do a good job for them, then they'll stay with us. And what we did last year is we introduced the Curtains Way. Mm-hmm. So the Curtains Way has been it's a set of principles on how we should behave and how we should operate. Mm-hmm. And there are 2 parts to it. There's the client experience, which relates to how we engage with our clients and how we work with them. And there's the working together component, which is the 10 principles of how we work together. That is starting to become embedded in the business mm-hmm. now. There are infographics and posters starting to appear in our offices. It should become a key part of everybody's CPDR's review process. When we're working on projects, we should be looking at the Curtains Way principles and saying, are we doing these? Are we achieving these principles? Are we living the Curtains Way? Mm-hmm. And I think that's been a really important step change. And I hope over the next year or two, that will really embed within the business.
And I suppose that brings us to 360, doesn't it? To where we started the conversation in terms of what is that kind of baseline expectation that our clients should expect when they, you know, when they work with Curtains? What can they walk into any door of any Curtains office and go, right, this is what I'm going to be met with? And I think just being really, really clear on what those principles are has been kind of, I suppose, just crystallizing it, I think, has been really successful, actually. And the way that that's been embraced in the business is quite exciting. I think people really appreciate knowing, right, okay, that's what I expect from my team, but also that's what I expect from teams across the business as well.
I agree. I think what it's done is it's given clarity mm-hmm. to what everybody can do and should be doing. Mm-hmm. So everybody maybe recognizes that a principle or associate level and above, there's a role to do with work winning and business development. But what the Curtin's Way does is it talks about what everyone can do. It talks about what our graduates and our engineers can do. And there's plenty that they can do. It's generally just being nice.
Yeah.
It's building relationships. Mm-hmm. It's engaging with the people we work with in the right way so that they like working with us and want to work with us again in the future. Mm-hmm. And then going back to what people can expect, that comment you made then, we have a strap line as part of the five-year plan, which is consistently Curtin's, consistently excellent. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we want to be. We want to do things consistently. We want to be excellent everywhere, all of the time.
Absolutely perfect. Okay, Alex, I'm going to move us on then to some kind of rapid, quick-fire questions, so don't overthink these too much. Tell us, what is your favourite thing to do? This could be professional, this could be personal, but yeah, what's your favourite thing?
I love my job. I love my job. So the first thing I'll say is I love my job, but I also, as those who know me quite well, quite like a holiday as well. So I'm quite partial to a family holiday. And I think it's really important that we do take our holidays. Mm-hmm. So we all work really hard at Curtin's. Everybody works really hard at Curtin's. And it's important that we decompress and we take those opportunities to step away, focus on other things in life, and make sure that we've got the balance that we all need. So a family holiday is up there for me.
Absolutely.
Can't beat that.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And I do think that one thing that you really champion, Alex, that I've noticed is that you're a real ambassador for switching off. When you're on holiday and you're with your wife and kids, what matters is that you're not connected to work. And I think that actually just that kind of that mental shutdown and being able to step away is really good for people to see, being role modeled by somebody so senior in the business. So I think, you know, that's really, certainly I recognize it and I think that's really appreciated.
I would encourage everybody to do exactly the same. It's really important. Mm-hmm. If you go out at 7 o'clock in the morning, you come back at 7 o'clock at night, you've got children, you've got wives, you've got pets, you've got family, you've got friends, you need to spend the time with them. And if you can't do it during the day, then you have to do it during your holidays and during the evenings and the weekends. I also, just at this point, going to give a quick shout out to Max and Ellie, who are my children, and they were really impressed that I was doing a podcast today. So there you go.
Nice.
I've name dropped them now, so I'll get brownie points for that.
Nice. They can search Daddy on Spotify. I love it. Okay, so tell us then, if you could describe Curtin's in one word, I know that's tricky. I know you've probably got 7,000 words that you could use to describe Curtin's, and I'm sure most of them are positive, but what would be the one word that you'd use to describe Curtin's?
Oh, that's a good question. I think the word that I like best is conscientious.
Love that.
At Curtin's, we are always striving to do the right thing and to do the best thing. We do things with integrity. Whether we're looking at ways to support our people and develop our people, whether we're looking at ways how we can work on socially worthwhile projects and make a difference in our communities, whether we're looking at ways we can be purposeful and give opportunities to people, we do all these things very deliberately. They're a key part of who we are. When we're making decisions, we're thinking about the positive benefits that we can deliver to all of the Curtin's staff. And I think that's really important. That's really powerful. And I feel very passionate about that, that we make decisions for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. What an absolutely brilliant answer. And how about this year then? So we're at the beginning of 2026 now. What are you most looking forward to? This could be personal or professional, but what's the one thing that you're counting down to in 2026?
I'll start with professional. So professionally, we spent a lot of time last year preparing plans. So there's a lot of change last year.
Yeah.
Rob left, Neil came in, governance board. There was a lot of changes last year. And we spent a lot of time planning, looking at how we do things, looking at how we could make them better and setting plans in motion. This year, it's about implementing the plans. It's about actioning the plans. It's about driving things forward to achieve our goals. We have a five-year plan. We have 2026 objectives. We know exactly where we want to get to. This is the year we start to get there and we really motor towards those goals. So that's what I'm most excited about, that's what I'm most passionate about, and that's what I want to spend this year doing.
Fantastic. And what about personally then?
I guess it has to be those family holidays again. So We're off to Disney World in April, and you can't beat Disney World.
Perfect. Alex Vogt with his Mickey ears on. Perfect. Okay, final question then, Alex. So we ask this to all of our guests. I would like you to picture Alex 12 months from now, okay? What are you going to be doing? So what are you going to be doing a year from today?
Well, I suspect there might be a good chance I'm back in this room doing another podcast.
I hope so.
Talking about how 2026 went and whether our ambitions and plans came to fruition.
And what would you like to be able to say then? Okay, so we're back in the podcast studio. You're back on Behind the Curtain and I'm saying to you, how did it go in 2026? What would you love to be able to tell me?
I think it goes back to the five-year plan. Mm-hmm. I would like to say that we are doing things more consistently than we ever have done, that we have improved things, so continuous improvement. Mm-hmm. Everything is just a little bit better in most areas. So I think that's what I'd like to see, just moving forwards towards those goals.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today on Behind the Curtain. It's been brilliant to hear such kind of clarity of message as well in terms of the plan, in terms of those three C's. And that's what we keep coming back to, isn't it? It's consistency, it's client focus, and it's collective ownership. And ultimately, I think if everybody gets behind those messages and really drives towards those ambitions, then that's when we see the best of curtains. So thank you for joining us, Alex.
Thank you for having me.